Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to kick off the second hour of the program here on this Thursday afternoon, June the 19th, with a little sermon review. We come off of Trinity Sunday, a Sunday observed by the church to, well, several reasons. One, the readings direct us there. We have Jesus, at least in one of the series of readings, he is directing his disciples to a mountain where he meets them. And then he says, they are going to make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe everything he has commanded them. He's with us always to the very end of the age. This raises the subject of the Trinity. Jesus is thoroughly Trinitarian. He speaks endlessly about his Father and the Spirit. There's no way to read Jesus in the New Testament without coming away with a Trinitarian view of God. There's no surprise there. But preaching a sermon on the Trinity can be difficult. It can turn into a lecture on the nature of God and of the Trinity, which has its place, but it's not necessarily Christian preaching of Christ and Him crucified. If you do it wrong, you can actually diagram God without getting to the gospel. So, before we begin any of our sermon reviews, we always like to walk through our three-part diagnostic. By the way, I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. here in the second hour. The first part of the diagnostic is pretty simple. Anybody, little children can do this. All you got to do is be able to recognize the name of Jesus. How often is Jesus mentioned? This means just listening to the sermon and keeping a simple running tally of how often the preacher mentions Jesus by name explicitly. Maybe not the name Jesus, but Christ, our Lord, not generic references to God. Those don't count because anyone can do that. A Mormon can make generic references to God. You're listening to a Christian preacher, so listen for Christ, for the mention of Christ. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally. Now, if Jesus is mentioned often, then you can go on to part two of the diagnostic, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? This is a little grammar, but it's important. You can talk about Jesus without saying anything about Jesus, what he's done. And that means Jesus isn't the subject of the verbs. Is Jesus doing the verbs, running the verbs in your pastor's sermon? Then, part three, if Jesus is the subject of the verbs, often mentioned and is subject of the verbs, the very important third part of the diagnostic is, what exactly are those verbs? Is this the Jesus who merely inspires, motivates, coaches you through life, encourages you through life, roots for you from the sidelines while you walk the Christian walk, or maybe even goes before you, set an example to follow? Or is this the Jesus who does the stuff, who actually does something for you? Namely, the verbs of the New Testament, the Jesus who lives for you a perfect life, who suffers, who dies, who rises again for you. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? And even on a special Sunday like Trinity Sunday, we should be listening for Jesus doing all of that. The sermon is called Baptized into the Triune Name. Pastor Jeremy Rohde preaches it at Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, a sermon for Trinity Sunday.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Genesis 1 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So what is this image of God? It means that God created human beings to be like him, to have his law written in their hearts, to have his goodness and righteousness as their own. Human beings were created to be the reflection of God himself, to be his true children in every way. But all of this changed when human beings turned their hearts against their God and Father and betrayed him. In sin, we've become completely unlike our God and Father. The image of God has been shattered in us, leaving nothing but sharp and broken shards, a complete absence of the image of God. The scriptures have a stunning way of teaching this. After the creation account, after the fall into sin, in Genesis chapter 5, we read first a repetition. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Then we read the change. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his own image. No longer does the human race bear the likeness and image of God. We now bear the likeness and image of Adam. No longer are we God's children and like him. We are now Adam's children and like Adam in every way. Even from birth, we are selfish and self-centered. And the me-first culture that we see today both comes from this and exploits this. If I can convince you that it's all about you, you getting the fun, you getting the good things you deserve, I can sell you just about anything. As Adam's children, we can't even comprehend what it is to live a truly selfless life. Nor can we have an accurate perception of what is good. In fact, we now see God's good law as out of touch. God trying to keep us from the really fun stuff. Or, on the other hand, we misuse his law and morality, looking down our noses at those wicked people, whoever they may be, convincing ourselves that we are the really good people of the world. Is it any wonder that the scriptures say that the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things? It's like a man at the judgment seat who says, "Look, God, I know I haven't been perfect. I've made mistakes." And God says, "No, it's worse than that. It's worse than you ever imagined. For what you thought was good was nothing but sin. And most of what you thought was evil, I call good." We are the children, not of God, but of Adam. We are born in Adam's image and likeness. As our Lord Jesus teaches in John 3, that which is flesh is flesh. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." You see, unless we are born again, we remain the children of Adam. Unless we are born again, we belong to the family of sin and death. And there is no hope for Adam's children. So Jesus himself says, "You must be born again." Not symbolic or metaphorical birth at all, but a very real thing. And Jesus tells us what this new birth is. You must be born of water and the Spirit. According to Jesus, holy baptism is the new birth you need. You are no longer Adam's child. Through baptism, you are born again as a child of God. This is why Scripture calls baptism a rebirth. Just as the Spirit hovered over the waters in Genesis 1 at the dawn of creation, now the Spirit hovers over the waters of holy baptism, making you a new creation. You were once a son of Adam. You are now a child of God. In your baptism, the Spirit overshadowed you, and a new man was conceived and born in you, not symbolically or metaphorically, but really and truly, as sure as God's own word. You were once a member of Adam's family. You are now a member of God's family. So baptism is not at all some new law or some new thing that Christians are required to do or something that you do for God. Rather, baptism is something God does to you and for you.
You're listening to a sermon titled Baptized into the Triune Name. It was preached Sunday by Pastor Jeremy Rohde of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California. So far, he has put us where we belong as children of Adam, and now through baptism in Jesus Christ, children of God. That transition, new birth, a real new birth of water and of the Spirit, we're hearing about in this sermon by Pastor Jeremy Rohde. After our sermon review, we're going to talk with Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith about Joel Osteen's recent meeting with Pope Francis and find out what was actually going on there. But when we come back, more sermon review here on Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, June the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, doing a little sermon review on this Thursday afternoon, June the 19th. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is called Hello, My Name is Single: How I Learned to Ignore the World's Expectations and Trust God by Adrienne Doerr Hines. She wrote much of this book while she was single. She didn't know it, but in the latter days of her singlehood or her singleness. and has the perspective of both married and single. For those who have the vocation of singleness for a lifetime, there's much in this book to offer by way of comfort and good, sound scriptural teaching. For those who are single only temporarily awaiting marriage, according to God's will, the book is equally useful. Find out more about the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. Hello, My Name is Single by Adrian Dorr-Heinz. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Hello, My Name is Single, the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're reviewing a sermon by Pastor Jeremy Rohde of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, on Trinity Sunday, this last Sunday, talking about baptism in the triune name. So far, he has made it quite clear that by our sin, by the sin of our first parents, we were born naturally in Adam's image, not in God's image, but the image is restored through Christ's work in baptism. Let's see where he goes next.
He ends your relationship with the family of Adam, and he makes you his own child. As we sung just moments ago, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. Baptism into Christ does not mean that we suddenly stop all sinning. Baptism into Christ doesn't even mean that we turn our lives around and get things basically cleaned up. In fact, baptism into Christ tags you as the arch enemy of Satan, the accuser, who is now hell-bent on overturning your faith. And to overturn your faith, he will accuse you day and night. But baptism into Christ is your answer to his accusations. When Satan troubles you with your sin, tells you that you must not be a true Christian if you do such things, then you say to Satan, I am baptized into Christ. My salvation is sure, not because of the strength of my faith, not because of my level of sanctification. My salvation is sure because in baptism, God has already and forever made me his child. Thank you, Satan, for reminding me of my sins. And by the way, you missed a few. For in reminding me of my sins, you do nothing but drive me back to my Savior Jesus, into his loving arms outstretched upon the cross. As you know, Satan, because twisting the Word of God is your vocation, the Word of God in the book of Romans plainly says that I have been buried with Jesus through baptism. In baptism, Jesus' death becomes my death. In baptism, Jesus' resurrection becomes my resurrection. In baptism, I am united with Christ. In baptism, I am forgiven. In baptism, God has made me his child forever. And there's nothing you can do about that, Satan. So good night. You see, there is no greater weapon against Satan than holy baptism. There is no greater weapon against your own doubts than holy baptism. There is no greater aid to your faith than holy baptism. For baptism is certainly just plain water, but it is also God's word in and with the water that gives you these things. So in holy baptism, God has already begun to restore his image and likeness in you. The fulfillment and completion of baptism is in your death. And in your death, you have nothing to fear. Death for God's child means only this: death of the old Adam in us, but life for the new man in us. Death for the son of Adam in us, but resurrection for the Son of God in us. The final shattering of Adam's image and likeness in you. And the final restoration of God's image and likeness in you. That is all death is for you, a child of God, baptized into Christ. So why talk about baptism on the Feast of Holy Trinity? Because our Lord Jesus would have all people become his disciples through baptism into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The revelation of the Trinity is not given for our dissection, but for our salvation through baptism into Christ. In baptism, you receive a new last name, the triune name. You receive a new family, a new future. For in baptism, sons of Adam are made into sons of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's a sermon preached by Pastor Jeremy Rohde of Faith Lutheran Church in Capistrano Beach, California, on being baptized into the triune name. Notice what it was. It was baptism into Christ, into his suffering, death, and resurrection, where Christ comes to you through the water and promise of holy baptism and connects you to himself, that through the Son you become a son of God. I love that image of the old image of Adam finally being shattered in baptism and the new image of God being restored to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you want to know where Pastor Rohde learned to preach like this? Well, he is, by the way, a 2007 graduate of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's how they teach them to preach there, Christ-centered, cross-focused. Now, if you've ever considered the vocation of pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Chris Rosebro, a newly minted pastor, by the way, talking about Joel Osteen's recent meeting with Pope Francis. An odd meeting. Maybe they have more in common than you think. Stay tuned.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique, so why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The Substitute Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the Substitute Organist Service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.